I mean, I'm a big proponent of we don't actually have to suffer. Like, we've been sold this idea that like we have to suffer for some reason, especially females. And we don't. So for me, like, I would like no nights of depressed crying. Realistically, I think that's very hard to get to, but I definitely don't want them to be a norm.
Hey guys, my name is Shayla. Welcome to the Hey Shayla podcast. I went from full-time travel to full-time new COVID mom, and holy wow, is motherhood and adulting a learning curve. There are so many decisions we need to make and a million ways to do it right. I created this podcast to interview some of my gurus to share their knowledge and empower you on your journey. Let me be your guinea pig and ask the questions that you think everyone else knows. Here, we're a little hippie. We try to do things as naturally as possible, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. But above all, we support one another and work to find what works. If you're into it, you're our people. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Hey Shayla podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. I have Cameron on the podcast, and we are talking all about mental health with pregnancy, postpartum in general. I feel like I found you on Instagram and you are super open and talk about all of this. And I was like, I need her on this because just because pregnancy and postpartum and mental health is all so real. And I think it's just a new conversation that's coming up. And so I want to talk about it. I know you from Instagram and that's about it. But as I was stalking you to do this podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, she like does a lot of stuff. You've got a podcast, you've got a blog, you make recipes and do all this food stuff. And I was like, okay, so I just want you to kind of tell us all about what you've been up to, what you do, and then we'll dive into all of the mental health fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Cameron Rogers. I'm the voice behind Freckled Foodie on that platform. Well, across all platforms, my goal is to really just make people feel less alone. And I do that by creating content for my Instagram. Now, I guess TikTok, my blog, but I haven't been great about my blog, if we're being honest. I used to be very heavily food focused. Like when I started 3 years ago, it was all food. And then it took a turn when I quit my corporate job to do it full time. I started to share more about myself and what I was dealing with, and specifically anxiety. And then it just kind of has since gone more down the route of lifestyle, motherhood stuff. Yeah. Honestly, I say that my stories are like an extension of my therapy sessions because they are.
And I love it. Podcast.
Yeah. So it's been fun. It's turned into something I never could have imagined and like gone down roads never could have fathomed, but it's been very enjoyable. And now it's also a whole new journey navigating as I am a new mom and figuring out what that looks like. And I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you'd still figure it out your whole life. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Cause I've talked to moms who are like, yeah, I'm in the thick of it. I've got a 12-year-old and I'm like, that's the thick of it. I feel like I'm in the thick of it. I feel like I was in the thick of it.
Is there ever a thin of it? Like, I don't think anything's ever thin. I think it's just constant thick of it.
One to the next to the next. Yeah. And I think you have grown and you've done so well because you're so transparent and you're so honest and you're so authentic with everything that's going on. Yeah. And I was just listening to a previous podcast of yours where you were talking about, and I related so heavily to this, when you were pregnant, but you hadn't announced and you felt like shit. Oh, and you were just like, there was this dissonance between I'm always honest and authentic with my audience, but I'm just lying about why I'm feel like garbage and why I'm not.
It was hell.
Yeah.
It was honestly hell. Well, first of all, the first trimester was just hell to begin with. I did not enjoy any part of it, but also I just felt like such a fake. Yeah. And I remember my husband and I, before I had gotten pregnant, we had decided since it was like, I mean, we're still in COVID times. I don't know when we'll ever be out of it, right. But it was like the thick of COVID. And we had canceled all of our, every travel plan we had for that year. And so before I got pregnant, we were like, let's do something local. Let's drive up to New Hampshire and we'll rent a house for a few weeks, just us and our dog, and hike and enjoy it. And we were so excited. And then it was like the honestly worst 3 weeks of my pregnancy, to the point where now if I see fall foliage, like, it still sends me back and I feel nauseous. Like, I will never return to save New Hampshire.
No.
Oh, it's awful. And of course, my little sister's boyfriend's from there. And like, his whole goal was to get us to love it and all move there together. I cannot go near it ever again. And like the laundry detergent that the Airbnb had, I haven't been able to use scented laundry detergent since. This is now a year. No, like, it's deep. And it, like, Mindy Project, I binged it while I was there. Can't even hear the intro without wanting to throw up. Like, so anyway,
wow.
It was miserable.
Yeah. It was a bad 3 weeks. In case you don't get it was actual.
Yeah. But like, I was having such a hard time showing up on my platforms because I've never felt like I had to force anything, because I've always showed up as who I am, right. Whether it's I'm in a really good mood, I'm crying, I'm depressed. Like, I speak it in the moment. And that's something that I love about my platform. And I think that's how I've built the community. And that's all of the positive feedback I get.
Totally.
But in these moments, I just wasn't ready, honestly, moving forward, if I am blessed enough to get pregnant again. Like, I do think I'm going to share just whenever I find out, because I don't think I can do it again.
Yeah.
But it was so hard to like try and put on this face. And my mom would text me and be like, you're not doing the best job, sweetie. You look really tired and sad in your eyes. So I'm like, thanks. There's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah. This is what it is. So then when did you announce at 12 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah.
I announced the second, I mean, I told my friends and family.
Yeah.
Joe and I found out on a Friday night. It was a surprise. Like, this was not a planned pregnancy. We were about to start trying. And I mean, I'm happy to get into that all if you want, but basically we found out Friday night. And we told both of our parents on Sunday and then all of our siblings on Monday.
Oh my gosh.
I had told all of my closest friends within a week.
Yeah.
Like, I was very much, I can keep someone else's secret, cannot keep my own for the life of me.
I'm the same. I'm the exact same way. And I think it's important because I've gone through a miscarriage on social media as well, but not on social media. Like, I didn't talk about it. And it was so difficult because you're pregnant.
Imagine.
Oh, it was terrible. And that was like the first time that I feel like I was genuinely depressed. I've never felt that before. And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what to talk about. I don't even know what to say. And I think for sure telling your group of friends, because some people I'd have to be like, hey, I was pregnant. I had a miscarriage, instead of like, hey, this is what happened. You already knew I was pregnant. I didn't have to break these two things to you. And I think it's important to have that close group of people that know, but also I'm an open book as well. I would happily like pee on the stick and then be like, oh my God, guess what, guys?
Right.
But Seth is like my husband, he's
very private
and it's not just your information. And so you can't talk about it. He didn't even want me to share my miscarriage story until we had Aaliyah, my daughter. Right. And so that's what I had to do. And I was like, I am literally going through the worst time of my life. And you're showing up. You're like, hey guys, today I'm having eggs or whatever. Just some stupid.
And nothing like matters in that moment. Like, none of that shit is important, but like, you can't talk about what's actually important to you.
Right. Yeah. That's so, do you think that the platform potentially, cause did you have like anxiety or depression during your pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I've had anxiety my whole life.
Okay.
And I didn't have the vocabulary to describe it until later in my life, but I can reflect back. I mean, I come from an anxious lineage of ladies. I can tell you that much. And when I was young, I honestly don't understand why this conversation was continuously coming up, but I just remember whenever people would talk about the concept of afterlife and like what happens when we die, feeling like I was going to throw up. And I vividly remember having this conversation with my cousin, my younger cousin. And she remembers this too, of us sitting in my parents' like hangout room and talking about it and being like, Carly, I feel like I'm going to vomit. Like, oh my God, I hate this feeling. And now I can say like, oh, I was on the verge of a panic attack.
Yeah.
Like, sending me into a panic.
Whoa.
Back then it was just confusing to me. And my anxiety manifests in my stomach. It always has. And I would wake my mom up at like 3 a.m. and be like, I have a stomach ache. I need a bath. And like, she'd sit next to me while I took a bath and all I would eat was cinnamon, Eggo or waffles. I also think that was a cry for attention as a middle child, but it was definitely something I had always struggled with, but I was a high performing anxious person. And so in high school, I didn't do the best in high school academically, but like I thrived in sports and I was like, like always tabbed the leader. I was the captain of our soccer and lacrosse team. And I was always dependable, whatever the word is. People could depend on me.
Yeah. Dependable.
And yeah. And then same in college, said I was going to take academics very seriously. And like the first semester I got a 3.9. And in my mind, instead of being like, that's awesome, it's like, well, I can't do any worse than this now. Like I always have
GPA.
And so I was a maniac. Like, I mean, I partied a ton. I was in a sorority, but I also lived in the library and I played lacrosse at a D1 level. And it was all like, I was getting all these accolades. I was the captain of our team. I was getting all of these academic accolades, all these great things. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying this that from the outside,
right,
I looked awesome and like I had my shit together. And on the inside, I was like crippling with anxiety. And it was the same when I entered the workforce. And so it was always something I've dealt with, I've struggled with, but I didn't actually make an effort to help my anxiety until I want to say 4 years out of college, 5 years out of college,
wow,
when I quit my job and it became like a focus. And then when I got pregnant, I struggled very badly with anxiety the first trimester. I went back on medication and have been on medication ever since, up to my dosage in the third trimester, up to my dosage in postpartum because I struggled with postpartum depression. But I finally feel now I'm in a better place, but obviously there are days where it's not that great, but I've figured out a toolkit to help me get through those days, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So how did you eventually get to the point where you, like when you said you started focusing on it, what did you do?
So, something that sparked all of this that I do not recommend is that I actually got hit by a car.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And I was, yeah, crazy. But I was on disability for 2 months because I suffered from a really bad concussion. And while I was on disability, like there is nothing you can do with a concussion when it's really bad. This was my sixth one and it was like a really bad one. And I couldn't really, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't really go. It's like a wild story, but I really couldn't like go outside. I couldn't read. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't be on my phone. So it really forced me to be comfortable with like being present and sitting in silence. And it's when I learned to meditate. It's when I started journaling. I just started really like listening to different podcasts. Honestly, that was the first time that I started to realize that the world was bigger than just me, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had these blinders on for my entire life. And this was the first time, like, you know, the horse blinders, that's kind of how I envision it when horses are racing. And it was the first time that they were taken off. And I was like, whoa, there's a lot going on that I've just ignored because I'm so like tied down to this fast paced energy that is finance in New York and like believing that my life is more important than anyone else's. And all of these things are kind of what sparked this evolution of being what I kind of call it. And then I started to go to therapy and I got put on medication and, you know, all of those things came after that, but that was like the real aha moment.
Yeah. So do you, cause I feel like for my first trimester with this pregnancy, I would sob myself to sleep one night and just be like, my life, and then like the next 3 days I'd be fine. And my midwife was like, it's okay if you need to go on medication. And I was like, I know, yeah, I'm fine with that. But at what point? Because if I feel like I cry one night and then I'm good for 3 days, do I need to be crying all 4 days in order to go on? And she was like,
I would say no.
Okay. She said, at whatever point you don't think is tolerable. So if you're not comfortable with one night of crying yourself to sleep, it's time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of, we don't actually have to suffer. Like, I think.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I wonder how I feel about that. I don't know that I've been sold
this idea that like we have to suffer for some reason, especially females. And we don't.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I would like no nights of depressed crying.
Right.
Realistically, I think that's very hard to get to, but I definitely don't want them to be a norm. And that's kind of what led me. Like for me, I was on medication and then I had gone off and then I got pregnant and I like did not sleep for what felt like over a week because I was so anxious. My mind just could not stop. And that's when I was like, I need to go medication because to be totally frank, like the body that was trying to create a human would not have been able to safely do so if I had maintained that
level. Yeah.
So medication for me was the way that I was creating a home for this embryo to grow into a baby.
Yeah.
And postpartum, when I decided to up my medication, was after a very rough, honestly, like the beginning of postpartum wasn't that it wasn't easy, but it also felt like my therapist equates it when I told her to how an immediate family feels at a funeral where it's just, okay, someone just passed, which is, I'm not to say that this is the same emotionally, but someone passed, I need to just get dressed, get to the funeral home, get through the funeral, like say hello, say goodbye. Then when you get home, it almost hits you. Mm. That's how I felt about postpartum. It was like those first 2 months where like, we just need to wake up. I just need to feed the baby, change mm-hmm. his diaper, put him down, go to bed, like sleep when I can, do the bottles, all of that. And it was almost manageable. But then months 3 and 4, when I started to kind of like re-enter the world,
right.
I was like, wait a damn minute.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person. Yeah. I cannot do this. And that's when the depression hit. And for me, it was moments like we'd all be at my parents' beach house because it was over the summer and it's my favorite nights ever, like just out back, hanging out with everyone, having fun, and everyone would be having fun and playing games. And I would just like sneak off and go sit upstairs on the third floor, like literally in darkness. And my husband would come up and be like, hey, Cam, what are you doing? And I wouldn't be on my phone. I wouldn't be watching TV. I'd literally just be sitting there. And I'm like, this is just what has to happen. And he's like, okay, can I do anything? And then it's hard because like he wants to help and I'm like, I don't have the answers.
Right.
You're
like, I can't even tell you, I can't pinpoint what's even happening. It's just everything.
Right.
But it's nice to talk to you because I feel like you're so A, comfortable with it because you've dealt with it for so long. B, you kind of, I feel like you understand it a little bit better than somebody that's completely blindsided by it. Because like for me postpartum, I don't know if I was depressed or not, but I was not okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when you have the background prior to pregnancy, you're like, oh, this is it. We're going to fix it. Done. When you don't, you're like me. And you're like, is this bad enough? You know what I mean? Like, right. You're like, am I depressed? I don't know. And it's confusing. But I think you're right of just like, well, if you don't like the way you're feeling, one option is to get on some medication and fix it. And I've talked with a few hormone like specialists, and they basically say that your hormones go up, 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 up during pregnancy. And then as soon as your baby's out, they just plummet. And so that's like terrifying. The transit. It is terrifying. And like the culture that we're in right now is no longer this tribe and this like community in the village, like where the hell is my village? Where is it? And you're trying to do this all by yourself. And it's, you just don't have that support. And some people do, some people don't, but, and so you're trying to like exactly what you're saying, do the things that you have to do to maintain life of this child. But then at some point you have to integrate back into the world and you're like, whoa, hold on. And I think, well, and I guess I'll let you speak for yourself, but for me and kind of like what we do is we are our own boss. We do our own things. We are go-getters. We are motivated. We are doing things. We're excited about our work. And then just the extra responsibility of another human, you're like, okay, this is my whole thing now. How do I have time for both of these things? And how do I manage both of these? And it's craziness.
All right, let's take a brief break to talk about the California Beach Co. The California Beach Co. was this magical baby item that I found when I was trying to figure out how to contain my baby. My mom found a playpen that was like super bulky and heavy. Putting together a pack and play will make you sweat. This thing is literally up and down in seconds. It is super lightweight, super compact. You can travel with it. We set it up in our living room. You can go to the beach with it, obviously, the California Beach Co. I think they're always running a sale, but you can get an extra 10% off with my affiliate code, HeyShayla. Everybody that I know that's bought this loves it. And get the mattress. People are like, do we need the mattress? Do we not need the mattress? Yes, otherwise it's just on the floor. So if they fall, they're not getting hurt. Get the mattress. If you go to my website, heyshayla.com/my-favorites, you'll see a video of me popping it up and popping it down and how easy it is. Okay, let's get back to it.
Do you have childcare or like, what do you do?
So this is like something that I'm navigating right now. We did not have any childcare for the first 2 months, which I have mixed feelings about when I think back on, like part of me really enjoyed, and I'll use the term for the first 2 months, like night nurses are very popular in New York City.
What do they do?
So see, this is wild to me that like, it's so common in New York. Like it's the fact that I didn't have a night nurse, people were like, what? A night nurse basically like comes and takes care of the baby overnight so that like the parents sleep during the night. Yeah. And like, it's amazing, but it's also very expensive. And I don't like people in my space, and we live in an apartment during COVID, they're staying with you 24 hours a day. So I was just like, not happening. But that being said, for a second child, it's definitely something I will consider as like a postpartum doula. And we didn't have any help after delivery. So it was the two of us for 2 months, but Joe's paternity leave was a sick joke of 2 weeks. So I have a lot to say about that. Yeah. And honestly, that was really hard for us because then majority of the responsibility fell on me.
Oh yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And we were doing everything very, very split. And then he had to go back to work and I was breastfeeding. So it was just a lot. And like, no matter how much he did, I felt resentful. And then he felt like he couldn't do enough to make me happy. So it was a whole thing. Around months, I'd given myself 2 months maternity leave, which again, I wish I had given myself more. And also I wish I had actually taken it. Like I put my podcast on hold and I put partnerships on hold, but I was still like on Instagram every day, like posting. So that's not maternity leave. Like I look at my sister right now who has 6 months, she's in month three and she's like fully not working. And I'm like, that is amazing. Yeah. Like, that's just foreign to me because our life is so integrated. Our job is so integrated with our life where it's hard because I'm like, I want to step away. I want to actually be off. But at the same time, like the way I've built my platform and my community is by sharing what I'm going through. And right now I'm going through a fuckload.
A lot.
I want to help people. And me talking about postpartum depression or going on medication or how hard postpartum is actually helping a lot of people. And I was getting all these messages of like, thank you for actually showing what postpartum looks like. Like, you know, a lot of that's a different topic, but we did not have care when I re-entered. My mom babysat once a week and his mom babysat once a week. And then we did hire a babysitter for 2 days a week. So 4 out of the 5 work days, we have someone here from like 9:30 to 4, nice. Which is very helpful for me to be able to do things. But it's really hard finding the balance because even with that time, it doesn't feel like enough. Like I'm still scrambling because I also try to do stuff for the home or my appointments during that time. Like it's just really hard to like keep myself alive, let alone another human and our dog.
Yeah.
So it's tough, but I'm trying to figure it out because at the same time, like I actually love being a mom more than I thought I would.
Oh,
and I want to spend as much time with him as possible. Like he's a very easy, fun baby and this could all change with age. But right now it's like, I want to spend all of my time with him.
Yeah.
And I was like talking to my husband about cutting back on help. And he's like, what are you doing? Like
the voice of
crazy.
Reason. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, but I have so much fun with him. And then he's like, You always are saying how you had more, you wish you had more hours in the day. Now you want to cut back. Like, if anything, we should be adding help. So I'm trying to navigate that.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to balance both, especially this job is wonderful in the sense that I get to do it from home and I get to spend time with him. And like, I have those moments and I get to do things with him, but it's also really hard because I never feel like I'm shut off because
I
share my life and it's a really tough boundary to set.
Totally. And there's no, like, when you get help, my sister today was like, oh, when the babysitter comes take a nap. I was like, you're right. I should, but also I can't. Like, I've got so many things to do, not only like this podcast and my work and my emails and my whatever, but the laundry. And now I'm nesting. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to get these clothes in the 18 month bin because we're going to need them in a couple of months. And then I need to get these clothes. And so I need to bring them from upstairs to downstairs and I'm out of bins. So I need to buy some more from Target. And like,
I was a nesting Virgo and it was scary. My husband wanted nothing to do with me.
That's so funny.
But I will say, you're talking to someone who just woke up from a 25 minute nap, because I have no shame in being like, oh, I have a long laundry list. Sorry. I need a nap. Like, this list will get done, just maybe not today. And that has been a total mental shift for me, because my entire life, I was like, go, 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 go. Everything has to get done right away. Like, instantaneous. I can't let someone wait 5 minutes before I reply to them. Even like text messages. I'm the person that responds right away.
Oh my gosh.
I've just been like, people can wait. Like, they don't actually need me right now, whether it's a work email or a text, unless it's an emergency.
Right.
And you know, the packages will get unpacked maybe tomorrow or maybe later. Like, right now, my body needs rest.
Is your husband the same way? Is he a do it now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, see, that's nice.
When we get home from a trip, we got home from a trip this past weekend, Sunday night at 8:30, and we hadn't eaten dinner and we wanted to watch the Succession finale at 9. Within 25 minutes, we had unpacked our bags, microwaved our dinner and eaten it, and unpacked 20 boxes. If I get home, it has to be unpacked.
Oh, wow. That's more than I was thinking, I guess. Do you like that he's a do it at the same time? Are you ever like on opposites where you're like, no, I just want to lay on the couch? And he's like, no, we need to unpack the bags.
Usually historically it's always been me being like, let's go do things on like a weekend. And he's like, but we could just sit on the couch and watch football and hang out and like do nothing. But then there are definitely times where honestly, one of our biggest arguments is that he wants to unload the dishwasher right when he wakes up. And I'm like, I know why. Like, I want to enjoy my coffee and hang out for a second. Like, I need a beat before I get into the day. And he's like, oh, the dishwasher's clean. Let's unload everything and like plank around in the kitchen and make all this noise. And I'm like, that's so wonderful of you.
But yeah.
Can we wait?
Yeah.
Like 20 minutes.
Can I just have a minute? That's so funny. Well, like if I ask Seth to do something, I just recently got my oil changed and I needed new like air filters or something. For them to do is $120. I looked it up. It's like $30 to do it by yourself. And I think it's pretty simple. Like, I feel like I could YouTube this, but he's like, oh, I can do that. I'm like, okay, cool. When do you think you're going to do, I can order them. Do you want me to order them or do you just want to get them at AutoZone or should I just order them on Amazon? And he's like, Shayla, you need to chill out. And I was like, no, because I want to get this done. This needs to get done. And he's just like, the person's like, oh, it'll get done. I'm like, when though, when are we going to do it?
That would drive. I can't.
No. Yeah.
I would like hound. I mean, it wouldn't be healthy for either.
No.
I'd be like, well, when the fuck is it getting done?
And I'm also the queen of like, oh, we need to do, let's paint this room or like, let's get shelves or to put these things up. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, I'm going to do this on my own because you are not going to do this. And so I'll always like, oh, do you notice anything new in the room? And he's like, yeah, you hung the pictures. I'm like, it's really nice, right? Like, I need to do it all. But I also have a sense of pride in doing that as well, but don't need no man except for to like make babies and have a family and stuff. It's fine. Okay. How old is your son now?
6.5 months.
6.5. You're loving it?
I'm loving it so much. I will say, I think I always loved being his mom, but I don't think I always loved motherhood in the like early postpartum. I was very much like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Where is the rest of my life? Like, how do I have time for this? What, who am I? What is this new identity?
Yeah.
But I do think, like, I believe personally, I'm a different person ever since giving birth. And it's almost as if it cracked me open. And when I was put back together, it was in a different form, kind of.
Yeah.
And navigating, finding out who that person is and almost like meeting her for the first time is kind of where I'm at right now. But I am really, really enjoying this stage of motherhood because he is an easy baby. He sleeps. He's so fun. He's giggly. He's babbling. Like, I want to watch him at all hours.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I love the way that you described like getting cracked open and putting back together in different ways and then meeting the new person. Do you feel like you're just moving forward and meeting the new person and be like, cool, you're great. Or are you like, hey, let me introduce you to this past and like trying to marry the two? Or are you just like, that was awesome. That's still in the core. Let's move forward. Or how do you?
That's a very good question. I would say I'm not fully integrating. I mean, like, there are parts of my past that I would like to move on from. I like haven't always been the nicest person, and I've just been very intense and, you know, fast paced and a doer and a perfectionist and type A and like always striving to be the best.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to leave that behind. But I do think at my core, I'm very honest and open and like willing to discuss anything. And that's something that I think has come with me that I want to bring. And I also think that like the new version holds, you know, my core has not changed.
Yeah.
It's just other things like it's almost like my core. If you look at like a body, and I mean this metaphorically, not like literally, but my core has not changed, but like my limbs are different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the heart and the important qualities and all that.
So interesting to unpack.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And yeah,
it's yeah. Cause for me, I was traveling full time and like doing the YouTube thing like that. And then had this baby during COVID and it was like, not even a 180, just a tailspin of just insanity and just like trying to navigate who am I now? If I'm not a traveler and I'm this mother and like, what is this? And I had to like pull out the pieces of like, cause Seth would say, well, then just go somewhere. I'll watch her for the weekend. And I was like, I'm not going to leave her. What am I going to get? Yeah. I know that I have a hard time spending 24/7 with her, but I'm not going to not do that. I don't understand. And I had to learn that like the pieces of travel that I loved were learning new things, meeting new people, experiencing new things, and then pulling that in. And that's part of this podcast is just like talking to people, learning
that.
Yeah. Learning things from them. And then sharing that with everyone else. And it's given me life. Like it's, so I think it's important postpartum to unpack it and to decide what pieces of myself do I want to bring into this phase? And what pieces am I okay with leaving behind? And just like, cause you're just dumb things like Seth and I used to hold hands in the car the whole time. And now I'm like trying to get us to where we need to go while ordering groceries. We're trying to give her snacks. And I'm like, oh, sometimes I pause and hold his hand. And it's like this refreshing, like just remembering little bits of that.
Yeah.
I think
it's always nice to have like, and I was talking about this with someone else where it's not that I want to go like out every night and club and party and like whatever, but I wouldn't mind the option. Like that's what it is. I don't miss that stage of my life to the point where I want to go do all of that. But sometimes I'm like, but it would be nice to just be able to, if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that like I'm navigating now socially. Cause I think that, and honestly, like giving birth in the middle of a pandemic has really just been the icing on the cake for all of this. Because when I am social, even in safe ways, I'm like freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Internally.
Yeah.
Mentally. Like, oh, what am I doing? So that's a whole different layer, very specific to this time, but trying to also like find ways to still connect with my people in ways that aren't always with Liam, because I do need to like, you know, I wrote something once and I was like, I need to fill up my cup so that I can fill his, and that's overflowing. Like yeah. I want his cup to overflow. And in order for that to happen, like my cup has to get some fill as well.
Right.
And finding what that actually looks like.
Totally. Yeah. And it's, and I think COVID is both like, A, I agree with the anxiety, especially now that I'm pregnant, I'm way worse because I'm just like, oh my gosh, everything. And
sure.
And, but the FOMO was gone. Like there was nothing going on. So there was no like, oh, I really wish I could go to this party, but I can't because I don't have a sitter or like I'm still breastfeeding around the clock or whatever. So that was like the one, I don't know, that's not a benefit, but there was nothing happening
mentally. Yeah. I think for me, it was hard though, because I gave birth right before, like there was that 2 month bliss period where we were like, oh, COVID's over,
it's
because
done.
Like, we got vaccines and now we can party. And like New York City was popping months, June and July.
Are you kidding?
Oh no. Like, because it was like, everyone was vaccinated and we all thought that like, you know, that meant that nothing else could happen. And those 2 months were hard because I was like, wait a second. Like all of you guys are returning back to this world. And I am now dealing with a 1 week old. Like what just happened? So that honestly was hard for me. Whereas during actual pregnancy, it was like, oh, no one's doing anything anyway. So I'm not missing out on anything.
Right.
It was like the one nice aspect of being pregnant during COVID.
Yep. I agree with that. When I'm going to ask you more about medication, because I guess personally, but also for people listening, do you feel like you're using, or that, do you feel like it's a step to get to the next phase? Or do you feel like it's something that you get on? I don't know how to ask this right.
Like, do you think you're going to be on it for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Or do you think that it's, you're using it as a tool?
I try not to think about like, how long am I going to be on this for? Because the future in general is anxiety inducing for me, but also I'm like, if I am, that's fine.
Right.
Like, I don't mind that. If it's, if it allows me to be this great version of myself, then what's the matter with that? And if I'm not on it for the rest of my life, that's also okay. Like, I think it's a very ebb and flow, and my dosages have been just that, an ebb and flow. And there are times where maybe just general life is more anxiety inducing. For instance, for me, postpartum plus the pandemic and all these life changes, like I needed to up my assistance. And for me, like I'm totally okay with that. But I also understand that for some people it's jarring. I just am at a place where I feel for so long I was trying to perfect my anxiety. And I would be like, but I don't understand. I meditate. Why am I so anxious? Like I journal. Why am I so anxious? And my therapist is like, Cam, you know, you might just be an anxious person.
Yeah.
And you might still have anxiety. It just might be different forms and it might be a different consistency, or it might show up in different ways or occur a different amount of times. And like, for me, the difference now is that yes, things that make everyone anxious, like a big meeting coming up or something like that, like the pandemic, of course that can be anxiety inducing, but I'm not like walking home from a grocery store, randomly having a panic attack on the side of the street anymore. And like, that's a big difference for me.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't want to return to that place. So whatever tools I continue to use to maintain this level of mental health, I'm happy to use for however long I need to.
Right. And I think that that's how I would be too. Like if I, cause I started taking 5-HTP, which is like a serotonin support, and it has helped so much. And then you're like, okay, if I'm functioning at this level and I feel light years better than I felt, then why am I worried about how long I'm going to be on this?
Right.
Because I feel better. And I think when, before you take something, you're sort of doubting, like, is this going to work? Am I actually going to feel better? And then once you do start feeling better, you're like, whoa, wait, this is not real. Like this is,
well, it's like you wear glasses for the first time.
Yeah. And like, exactly what you said with the blinders. Right. And you're like, oh, this is how I can function. And this is how I can feel. And this is, and I have a lot of friends that are like, right. But exactly what you said, a lot of people who aren't medicated and aren't anxious people get anxious about things. And so even if you're on the medication and you get anxious about something, that's okay.
All right. We're going to take a brief break so I can tell you about a company that I'm affiliate with. It's one of my favorite baby carriers and it's called Tush Baby. And Tush Baby is perfect for when your baby wants up, down, up, down, up, down. This thing is fantastic. It is a belt with a seat and your baby can sit facing you, facing outward. She loved this thing in Target, which surprised me. I used it in the morning. Caregivers like this, grandparents, because it alleviates some of the pressure on the hips and the back. If you're interested in checking out Tush Baby, you get 15% off with code HeyShayla. Let's get back to the show.
So then when do you decide to like lower? Obviously you increase when things get chaotic or stressful or postpartum or whatever, but when are you like, okay, I'm going to lower the dose?
So I haven't gotten to that place yet because I still think I'm like, I mean, again, who knows when we're ever out of the thick of it.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a conversation.
Retirement. Maybe have. At retirement, yeah. You feel like you can kind of relax.
No, that'll be a conversation I'll continuously have with my psychiatrist about just like in general, how I'm feeling. And I've been feeling much better lately. Like I had a very anxious day yesterday, but that's also because I came home from a weekend away and like there was a 6-hour flight and I miss Liam and I returned to a shit show of work and the holidays are coming up. Like I can now understand that.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay, it is what it is. Let's do the things that help. Let's stop doing things that don't help and go from there for the day. And tomorrow is a new day. Not sure when I'll have the conversation about lowering my dosage because it honestly is like a day by day thing. And I try not to like think much further than that.
Well, I think that's a really good way to approach it instead of just like a daunting, I'm starting this and I don't know. It's like, right. It doesn't matter. You'll figure it out as you go. But you stopped before you got pregnant.
Because the medication I was on, I would not have been, it was not recommended for me to get pregnant while I was on the medication. So the whole plan was let's go off of this medication
for a few months.
How I feel, you know, like figure it out. If I have to go on a different medication, I can, and then I'll try to get pregnant. But I went off of it and then I had gotten blood work done because I have a weird medical history. And I was like, I'm just nervous. I'm not gonna be able to get pregnant. I just want to like test my levels before we even try. And they were like, oh, your AMH is low. You're considered infertile. You have to do IVF. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where did, like, how did we just get here? I haven't even started trying.
Yeah.
And I was like hysterically crying to Joe. We were like, all right, let's get a second opinion. So I scheduled a second opinion. In those 2 weeks, I was like, well, I can't get pregnant. So why are we using contraception? And then it was, I guess 3 weeks later, I was having really bad cramps and I was sitting on a podcast interview and it was like a big interview for me. And I was texting Joe being like, I'm freaking the hell out. Like I feel like I'm going to throw up. My cramps are horrendous. And I always get bad period cramps, but this was like 3 days in a row and it was like a little early. So I was very confused.
Yeah.
But honestly, I had no thought of being pregnant. And I mean, I've said this on my show, so I don't care. We were planning on doing mushrooms the next day and we had this like whole day planned out. And I was like, you know what? I should probably just like be sure I'm not pregnant. And I was staying at my parents' house at the time. And I went to my high school bathroom. I found a pregnancy test. I peed on the stick. I left it. And I like went back to work. Cause literally zero chance. Like in my mind, there was zero chance.
Well, they told you were infertile.
Right. Come back into the bathroom. I see it's pregnant and I scream Joe's name, bloody murder. He thinks that there's like a mouse. He comes in. He's like, what's going on? I was like, I'm pregnant. He's like, where did this come from? Like, he didn't even know I was taking the test.
Right.
So we go out and we buy another test. Cause he's like, how is this real? And it was real. So I never got the second opinion and who knows? I mean,
you got your own second opinion.
But evidently something worked. So I don't know how it happened. It was a great blessing.
Yeah. You're like Mary, the Virgin Mary. It just happened. You're like, somehow, yeah, Virgin Mary.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Okay, good. So with Aaliyah, for me, it sounds like you're loving the newborn and infant phase. I took about till about a year where I was like, okay, mm-hmm. we're getting in the swing of things like this. I feel like my hormones started to kind of level out a bit. She became so fun and engaging. I feel like the first year is all physical, where they're like learning to crawl, learning to sit, learning yeah. to do this. And then it turns mental, where they're like learning things. They're learning. We did sign right. language. She's learning to sign. She's learning mama, dada. She's, and that to me was the coolest. And so that's when it kind of started to like chill out a bit. And then I don't know, a couple months,
which
later,
I think is very common. Yeah. I think that's more common than what I'm feeling,
but
but
maybe it's because you are like on this medication and you're not in this postpartum gloom. Maybe you actually are getting to enjoy it. Seriously. Cause otherwise,
maybe, honestly, just, maybe
I feel like
yeah. meditating, journaling, antidepressants and cannabis, I guess is my like Molotov cocktail, whatever the term is.
My toolbox. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause meditation for me too, I'll be like, I'm having a minute. I need to go upstairs. Give me 10 minutes. And then I come downstairs and I'm like, I love you. And this is so wonderful. Right. I love everything.
It's like a nice little hit of like happiness. Wait, I'm also curious, just selfishly, when did you start doing sign language?
We did like more from the start, yeah, like when she was, yeah. And then once she started to kind of understand things, it's mostly the most from the beginning. But then as she started to understand other things where we would like eat, be like, okay, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And then she would sign that. And sometimes she didn't, or she'll make up her own signs. Like help is, I don't even know what it is, but she puts her hands together like this and she'll be like, help, help. And you're like, okay, I'll help you, or please. So we taught her.
I really want to be better at this.
It's fun. Well, do you have
now? So is this motherhood though? Because now when you're saying this, I'm like, fuck, I'm so behind. Like,
no, you're not behind.
Why does my mind go that way?
No. Some people don't start till a year. Some people, I mean, it doesn't matter because you're starting, even if you start at infancy, because I know sign language teachers who are like, we started right when they were born. Like they're not understanding any of it. They're right. not understanding any of it. So yeah. once they kind of,
what were you going to say? Do you have
Love Every?
Yes.
It's okay. So they have a sign book in there. You got one.
Really?
Yeah. They got one where they're like signing with their parents or something. And that's what we basically went off of all of that. There's like milk, there's more, there's, eat.
I was doing YouTube. So like, I know milk, I know eat, drink, more, all done. I tried to do good morning. My mom's like, you look like you're saying, fuck you. Okay. Well then I'll stop doing that.
Yeah. Those. And then we started, I do please and thank you. And that's my, it's my favorite because you'll be like, she'll just be like, oh, I want this. I want this. And you're like, please. She'll be like, please, please.
Oh,
and I'll say, okay, thank you. Kiku. Okay, cool. It's the best. Okay,
I'm going to research more.
Yeah. But we only do like a handful, no more than 10 probably.
Oh, that's total. All. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. But it is really nice. And it's supposed to help them with verbal communication too. Cause some people right. are like, oh, it's going to stall their, no, it just tells them, oh, you can communicate with me in a lot of different ways.
I also like don't understand why all of us don't know sign language, right. given the fact that like some people are deaf. Like that's just insane to me that we don't know it naturally. Like we should be taught this anyway.
I agree. And I think it's also insane that there's American sign language or like English sign language. Cause like there's Chinese sign language and the two.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So like, if you know a deaf Chinese speaking signing person and like an American deaf signing person, they can't communicate. They could communicate just like how English and Chinese.
My God. I don't know why I never thought of that. That's wild.
I interviewed a sign language teacher on my podcast and she's like, I was trying to sign with this Chinese ASL, American Sign Language, Chinese Sign Language, and we couldn't communicate.
Wow.
Right?
That's wild. I know.
It is. It's so crazy.
I feel like my mind is blown right now.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. No, that's been super helpful for us. And then it helps with the tantrums too, because she can actually say what she needs instead of just like, cause she'll say help. She'll be trying to do something and she'll right. just start to like get upset. And then she'll be like, help me, help me. And you're like, oh, what do you need help with? Oh, you want whatever. And then you can help them. So it's been really great. I'm trying to think of what else. I don't know. I'm just really grateful that you are. I feel like I'm asking really ignorant questions, to be honest, because I just
don't. Oh my God, why?
Because I don't know that much about it. And I don't want it to be judgmental, but not, but, and I just don't know.
I do not feel any sense of judgment.
Okay, good.
Like literally none. Also, if I thought you were being judgmental, I would be like, bitch, shut up. Like I wouldn't have no problem saying that.
Okay, good.
I do not feel that whatsoever. I also think that like, I'm someone who just asks what's on my mind yeah. and like, I want to understand things. And I think we all should be doing that and asking questions like bluntly just to learn. So
right.
honestly, none of this.
Okay, good. Well, and it's honestly personal questions too, because I feel like I've experienced all of this, but then I know that everyone, not everyone else, but I mean, the hormones are literal facts. Like that's just biology, yeah. what happens in your body. And the crash postpartum is so gnarly. And just
I have a photo of me like hysterically crying on the couch with my pump hooked up. Like, I think I posted it to my Instagram.
I think I've seen it. Actually.
Like, I'm his, yeah, like, Medela reposted it, I think, or someone. And I was like, oh God, why did you do that to me?
Because it's so relatable. That's why.
But I was like sitting on the couch hysterically crying because I hadn't hugged my dog in 24 hours. And I was like, he still loved me. Like, it had nothing to do with Liam, my son, or my husband. It was because I was worried that my dog didn't know that I loved him. And Joe's like, okay, so I'm going to bring Charlie onto the couch. You can say hi. Like he's right there, but no, it's so real. I mean, the hormonal in general, like right now I'm going through all of like the hair loss shedding and it's yeah. like really sending me for a loop more than I thought it would. Funny. I'm having a very difficult time with it mentally, yeah. but the whole thing is so eye-opening and astonishing. And the fact that women just like do this, like, doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And somebody was like, it's incredible how many babies like survive just because it's so hard to take care of yourself, to take care of the baby, to do all of the things. And it's such a fine line between like trying to prepare someone and trying not to be a downer, because you want to be like, I want you to know these things.
Yeah. But like, I hate the whole downer concept. Like we can have two contradicting emotions coexist yes. at once.
I agree.
Like I love my child, but post like pregnancy sucked. And I did not enjoy like the beginning stages of postpartum. I also like love my husband, but sometimes he drives me insane and I resent him during postpartum. Like yeah. those two things can exist. And I also think that like we can have these conversations, and if someone wants to be like completely like not aware, they don't have to listen to it. It's not like right. I'm like going to a OBGYN's office and sitting down and being like, everyone listen up, like
you know, get your megaphone.
You choose to consume. Yeah. You choose to consume the content you want to. And I think that I was so blissfully ignorant going into pregnancy and postpartum that I wish I had been more prepared.
Yeah.
And that's honestly the whole entire purpose of the content I've put out there, specifically my What the Fuck is Happening to My Body series, because I didn't know any of these things happened to our body.
That was
like, I had no idea. And then I had all these like females reaching out to me being like, I'm blown away because I'm not pregnant. I have no like plans to get pregnant anytime soon. None of my friends are pregnant. And I'm addicted to these videos. They're like, yeah. I watch them like my life depends on it because I'm fascinated about this stuff I've never learned. Like
right.
it's a conversation that should have been had in like health class, but it wasn't. And then we're right. all like, everyone's like, oh, read What to Expect When Expecting. I'm like, this is not what I'm experiencing. So no.
yeah. No, I agree. I think you're right. You choose the people that you want to get your content from. And if you're not going to, hopefully, you're not going to choose the downers who are just only complaining. Right. You're going to choose people like you who are like, this is real. This is what's happening. I'm feeling sad. This is real. This is what's happening. I'm blissful and loving right. every second. Yeah. And just being honest about all of it. Yeah. So what has changed for work for you?
Oh man. I'm navigating this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm in it right now trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
A, like, I just don't care about that food anymore. Like, I do in the sense that I, like, still enjoy going out to restaurants and I love food, but, like, the idea of actually sitting down and, like, creating a recipe and writing it out and filming it, like, no interest in that. I also think that a lot shifted mentally for me over postpartum specifically, where, like, in the past, when I started this account, I had, like, a lot of orthorexic actions and thoughts where, like, I was focused on being the quote-unquote healthiest version and, like...
Is that what that means?
Yeah, orthorexic is like a form of eating disorder where it's just like obsessed with being like the healthiest you can be, like over exercising and like, you know, obsessively checking food labels and stuff like that.
Got it.
You're still eating, you're not anorexic and you're not binging and purging when it comes to like the bulimic aspect, but it's just like obsessing over it.
Okay.
And I feel like that was a huge part of like why I started this platform, because I was like overly obsessing with the food I was consuming. And now like food is just food. Like I fucking love it, but I don't really care about what's in it, to be honest. And I just don't have an interest in the recipe thing. And I think for so long I was like trying to hold on to it. Cause I was like, but my name's Freckled Foodie. And like, I don't want to be mom content. Like, oh God, kill me if I'm ever mom blogger. And like, joke's on me. So now I've kind of just accepted, like, I'm sharing what I'm feeling. I'm sharing what I enjoy. I'm sharing my life. And like, that's going to look different over time. It's going to ebb and flow. But totally. Like, if I continue to lean into the content I want to create, it's going to find my people. And like, that's all that matters. And I'm looking ahead right now for like 2022, what I want to do. Honestly, my main goal is to create a space and environment. I don't know what exactly the platform looks like, but just for women who are dealing with their fertility journeys or pregnancy or postpartum to feel supported and heard and seen and having fun. Honestly, like I posted on my Instagram the other day, I was like, this is how my mind works. Me, 2020, I'm going to like make this great platform for pregnant women and make them feel supported. Also me, I'm going to create a YouTube series where I get high and try and do ice cream reviews. Like I'm all over the goddamn place. And honestly, both of those probably will happen in 22. Like, the latter I'm not giving up on either, because I think it'd be really enjoyable, but that's my main goal. And then just finding a way to like work smarter, because I've been saying that for years and I'm not great at it. And I want to spend more time with Liam.
Right now it's survival and like prioritizing.
Yeah. Like everything is now up against this scale of like, well, is this, I could be hanging out with Liam. So would I want to be doing this or would I rather be hanging out with him?
Yeah.
And like, that's a very high bar to reach.
Yeah.
So figuring that out.
Right. Well, and I think kind of doing it, you've said this multiple times of just taking it day by day and doing what feels right in the moment. And I think that that's sounds like what you should be doing for your brand as well. Like, and that's what I had to do with my travel. I did a full hard twist into motherhood because I was like, I'm not traveling. So we're going full on motherhood, but just realizing that it is just a journey and like, it is going to change. And I'm not always going to be talking about newborn content. I'm like, we'll talk about toddler stuff. We'll talk about, I don't know, homeschooling or school, or once I start getting more into, me back into my stuff and just, it's all just going to flow. It all just ebbs and flows. So kind of just continuing with your journey and then having the platform do the same.
Yeah. I mean, we're ever evolving humans. So why would we expect our platforms to stay the same?
Right. But it's hard for us to accept when we start it one way and then it changes.
Totally. Yeah. Duh. Change. I hate it.
Okay. So where should we send people then? What's the focus here?
Come on over. I would say Instagram at Freckled Foodie. TikTok is at Freckled Foodie also. And then my podcast is Freckled Foodie and Friends. And that is every week conversational based, similar to this, no script, just having fun, great conversations with awesome people.
Yeah. I've listened to a few and they are fantastic. Fantastic. There's my Minnesota coming out.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please share with somebody you think would love. And I would be so honored if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and rating below so I can know what you guys are digging, what you want more of, just connect with you a little better. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.